This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day, and I'm grateful to be with all of you in person here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us over live stream. We're glad that the Spirit of Christ connects us during this time of worship. I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the chat and register that way. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you'll pass those down and back again. If you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we would love for you to share an email address, mailing address, phone number, and that will give us the opportunity to reach out to you and begin that conversation together. If you are a college student or a graduate student, you are invited to gather for lunch after this service. Reverend Amy Baxter will be in the back of the sanctuary at noon and will treat you to lunch and some opportunity for conversation and fellowship. That takes place every Sunday after the late service during the school year, so we hope you'll make that a habit. Our all-church retreat is coming up September 15th through 17th. We've got lots of folks signed up, and we have a little more room, so we are extending the deadline to Tuesday. There's still time to register. We're going to have some time of spiritual formation together. We'll have some fun, some opportunities for hiking or sitting in rocking chairs, and then some evening entertainment that's really going to be fun. That's all I'm going to say. So hope you'll sign up for that. Wednesday night suppers will be happening in September, and we hope that you will RSVP to join us. This week's dinner will be provided by Jason's Deli, and we need your RSVP so we can order the right amount. And then Reverend Will McLean will be teaching a class for adults and youth called The Art of Belonging, so we hope that you'll come and join us for that. Next Sunday at 3 o'clock in the Fourth Story Theater, Doug Berkey will be with us offering a dramatic interpretation, a play, a one-man show based on the short stories of Tolstoy. And there's no charge for that, but there will be an opportunity to make an offering to support the efforts of the United Methodist Church in Ukraine. So it will be a wonderful afternoon together, and we hope that you'll let your friends and neighbors know, and they'll join us next week. This morning we're in the Gospel of Mark, and we hear the encounter between Jesus and a man who is very sick and outcast and cast away by many of his friends and family and his community. We'll find out how Jesus heals him and welcomes him. May all of us who need healing and welcome feel welcome in this place as we worship together.
Thank you. worship found in your bulletin. Lord of our hearts, the author and giver of all good things,
increase in us your mercy, nourish us with all goodness, trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. They then began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by the demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a few moments with any of the children who are worshiping with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, you want to come. The rail is closed for communion, so you have to go around this way. Come up here, and if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screens. I have something fun to show you today. Come on up. So glad to see everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, you know what this is? It's the globe. It's the world, the earth. One of my children made this in school, and I think it's amazing. It's really pretty accurate. So if we want to find ourselves on the globe, this is the United States of America right here. I'd say we're about there in Tennessee, the city of Nashville. So here we are in Nashville, and we're sitting in church, and we're singing and praying, and I don't know about you, but I can feel God is with us as we're here. Well, a few years ago, I went all the way over the ocean, and I lived in a place right about here. I went by myself. I didn't know anybody, and I moved to this little bitty town in France. But you know what I found out? God was there too. I could pray and talk to God. I could feel the Holy Spirit in my heart. I went to church, and even though they were speaking a different language, I could tell they were saying the Lord's Prayer, and I just felt God with me. A few years later, I went all the way over here, and I was in Russia, in Moscow, Russia. And I thought, wonder if God is here. And you know what? God was there. I could talk and pray to God. I went to church, and I really didn't understand their language, but I knew what they were praying, and I recognized some of the songs. You know what? I think there's pretty much nowhere that we can go, anywhere in the world, anywhere on the earth, that God's not already there. And we can always pray to God and feel God's presence in our hearts and know God is with us. Do you think that would be true if we went to the moon? I think so too. I think God would be with us on the moon. I think God would be with us on the planet Mars. I think there is nowhere we can go that God's not already there. Let's pray together. Dear God, There are times when we travel far from home. Sometimes there are just times when we feel lonely and very far away. But you're always with us. No matter where we go or how we feel, you are always with us, holding us in your loving arms. So thank you for loving us and for being everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Shannon. He will lead the way to the chapel. Thank you for being here. I'm hoping that 10 minutes into my sermon, the world doesn't start coming down those steps, but I think we're good. Just someone wave to me and I'll go put it. If you are worshiping with us for the first time today, you may not know that our congregation is going through the Bible this year. We started in January with Genesis, and we had about 175 people sign up to read the Bible together this year. So if you are one of those who's been reading the Bible all the way along, we had a pretty good week, didn't we, this week? We're reading the Gospel of Mark, which takes maybe an hour and a half to read, compared to some of the books like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Job, for heaven's sake. Mark is just over before you know it. Mark, in some ways, is a gospel that leaves us breathless at the end of it because it seems to all be full of action taking place very quickly. The word immediately comes up again and again in Mark's gospel. Most scholars will tell us that Mark was the first gospel written, and that Matthew and Luke, at least, had Mark in front of them. And so the chronology that we have in Mark's gospel is followed in the other two gospels. But it's written as if Mark was in a hurry, like he just wanted to get down the bare essentials of what someone needed to know in order to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God. He doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' birth or childhood. He barely tells us anything about what happens after the resurrection. But in the middle, it is one thing after another. Jesus did this, then he did this, he taught this. If you haven't read it, I encourage you just to go home and read the first chapter. It'll take you 5 or 10 minutes. And look at all the things that happen in one chapter. Jesus is baptized. He goes into the wilderness to be tempted. He calls his disciples. He heals a man in a synagogue. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals a leper. And by the end of chapter 1, Jesus' reputation is spread so far and wide as a healer and a teacher that he can't go around in public very easily anymore. Everywhere he goes, he is followed by these masses of crowds. And his ministry is all taking place in the few little cities of the Galilee where a group of Jewish folks had settled. This all continues for the first 4 chapters of Matthew. And then in chapter 5, Jesus does something a little bit unexpected. Something you might even say is inefficient. He gets in a boat with his disciples. He goes all the way across the Sea of Galilee into Gentile territory. He heals one man, and then he goes all the way back. Now, why would Jesus do that? It could be a strategic decision. Probably in many ways it was. He wanted the good news of the gospel to begin being spread among the Gentiles. And sure enough, by the end of this story, the man who was healed has told so many people about what Jesus did that all the cities of the Decapolis, these 10 Gentile cities, are beginning to hear about Jesus. But I wonder if there was something else going on. It sounds just like something Jesus would do, to go way out of his way to find a man who was suffering so deeply as this man was. I even wonder if there were nights when Jesus was in prayer deep into the wee hours, and echoing over the Sea of Galilee, he could hear the screams and the howls of this man who was in such pain and so isolated. It's hard to imagine anyone more forsaken, anyone more abandoned, alone, outcast, marginalized than this man. Tradition has called him the Gerasene demoniac. We don't even know his name. He's named for his affliction. And the way Mark describes him is in a good bit of detail. He tells us that this man was living among the tombs, already a place that would have been considered unclean by Jesus and the other Jews, and that he is sometimes even chained to the tombstones to try and restrain him. Perhaps he's such a danger to himself or to others. It seems as if his friends, his family, his community have gotten to the end of their rope. They don't know how to deal with him. They don't know how to help him. Or maybe he just scares them so badly that they leave him there. And one of the passages that broke my heart was when it said that he would break the chains and then would be heard howling and bruising himself with stones. He was hurting himself over and over again. It is a piteous thing to hear and to see. So Jesus arrives on the shore, perhaps knowing exactly who he was headed to see. And the way Mark tells the story is a little bit out of order, but apparently Jesus speaks first. This man has not asked for help, has not called out for Jesus to come, but Jesus comes and finds him anyway. And the first thing Jesus says is, "Leave this man." He speaks to the unclean spirit that is torturing this man and sends him out. But the man falls at his feet and says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What have you to do with me? What in the world would the Son of God have to do with me, as nobody else will have anything to do with me?" That's what I hear in that question. Jesus asks him his name, and here we can see the chaos in the man's mind and spirit. He says, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We and I, the pronouns, are all mixed up in his story. We can see the distress and disorder of his mind. And then Jesus, in a strange moment of compassion for these spirits that are inhabiting the man, sends them into a flock of swine. Now that's a whole nother story and a whole nother sermon for another day. But lo and behold, the man appears now, clothed and in his right mind. There's so much going on in this story. We were talking in the narthex earlier about they've also preached this text before, and it's so rich and complicated and layered in so many directions we could go in. But where I felt led this week was to think about how we, as the followers of Jesus, are called to be like Jesus. So often in the church, we're not comfortable being with folks who struggle with mental and spiritual illness. We can talk all day about going to the hospital and having a gallbladder removed, but sinking into a season of clinical depression, or dealing with anxiety, or having a family member with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, and how difficult that can be for the person and for the family, we don't talk about those things very easily or very comfortably. Sometimes we get in our minds that to come to church, I've got to have it all together. I've got to seem like I have it all together. And those kinds of afflictions and illnesses are just too unknown, too scary. We don't feel equipped. But here we have Jesus. When everybody else, the whole community, has been so afraid of this man, Jesus finds him and walks toward him and offers healing to him. So how might we, as the followers of Jesus, create the kind of community that can love and support folks, family members, loved ones? We're not doctors. We can't prescribe medicine. We can't be the only solution. But is there a way that we can come around each other in love? In my previous congregation, I had the privilege on Wednesday afternoons to lead a Bible study at the Center for Living and Learning. The Center for Living and Learning is a group home that was established by Scooter and Fran Clippard. Fran and her sister Diane Benedict, the wife of Buddy Benedict, who many of you know, had a brother, he has since passed away, named Donald. Donald was diagnosed with schizophrenia at a young age, and the family found it very hard to have resources and support to know how he could live with dignity and purpose. And so, because they had the resources and the generosity and the vision, they bought a piece of land south of Franklin near Leaper's Fork. Beautiful piece of land, so peaceful out there. And they have now two houses there where people with this particular diagnosis of schizophrenia can live. Some of them have jobs. Many of them would come to church on Sunday at our congregation. Some would come to Wednesday night supper. And this congregation could just be their community of faith and community of support. And I would go to Bible study on Wednesdays and bring before them the text I would preach on Sunday, and the things that they would see and remark on and experience in Jesus inspired me in my own faith, in my own walk with Christ. Not every church can do that. That's not everyone's path. But what might we be able to do as a congregation? Since this congregation has been at this location, we've always had neighbors knocking on our door asking for help. Some of them are dealing with severe mental illness and living in homelessness. And just being able to come alongside and pray with them and give them a snack and a bus pass is meaningful and important, to treat them with dignity. But is there more that we might be able to do? I think most of us have struggled in some way or another, ourselves or in our families, with some form of mental distress, depression, anxiety. I think 3 years out of this pandemic, all of us are struggling with things we don't even know we're struggling with. Healing from childhood trauma, addiction, whatever it may be, some of those things that we don't always admit, even to ourselves. Well, there's a small group of folks in this congregation who are beginning to think about and pray about how we might create space to support one another and talk more openly about caring for one another and walking together during these kinds of seasons. So I invite you to be in prayer for them. And if you feel called to be part of that, to let me know and we'll get you in touch with those folks. The ending of this story is deeply profound. The man goes to Jesus and says, "Please, I want to go with you. I want to follow you." You would think Jesus would say, "Well, come on." He's always asking people to follow him, but in this case, he doesn't. He says to the man, "Go back. Go back to your community. Go and tell your friends." The final piece of this man's healing is being restored to community. Everywhere Jesus went, he was creating community in the body of Christ. So, my friends, may we be one part of the body of Christ where people can come with all of their struggles and hear the good news that Jesus has everything to do with them and with us. Thanks be to God.
Friends, I invite you to stand and rise in body and or spirit to join with me in the proclamation of the Apostles' Creed. Church, in what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, friends. Through the practice of prayer, God is moving us to be a communion where folks know that they are seen and loved and cared for in this place. And so one of the ways that we can be in prayer for you is if you would follow the instructions on the screen if you're worshiping online, or by taking one of the gray cards in the pew in front of you and sharing a prayer request and dropping it in the offering basket at the appropriate time. That will be the opportunity for us to be in prayer with you throughout this week and in weeks to come. We also are a community that God is shaping and forming to be a people who are companions in joy and also in times of mourning. And this week, the rose on our communion table celebrates the birth of a new member in our communion. Celeste Casey Wilson, she'll go by Cece, was born on August 17th to Bob and Ann Walker Wilson. She's welcomed also by her grandmother Celeste Reed, grandfather Mark Harrison, Aunt Celeste Shaughnessy, and great uncles Jim, John, and Casey Reed. Also encourage you, friends, to join in prayer and in solidarity of mourning with the family of Carol Ann McSwinney, who passed away on Tuesday, August 29th. Among her survivors is her sister Sue McSwinney, and services will be held at a later date. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Great God of compassion and love, your Son Jesus was brought all who were sick or possessed by a power beyond themselves. Visit today all who feel they're in the grip of a power that is not of you. Be among, within, and beside those who struggle with addiction to substance. Be among, within, beside those who live with a compulsion toward self-harm or in a pattern of self-destruction. Be among, within, and beside those who live with a disordered view of their body and the nourishment it needs. Give strength and endurance to your children who are subjected to epileptic attacks or other conditions that leave them feeling like life is out of control and enshrouded in fear. Come close to children and parents and partners and friends who find that their loved one's character and mental state is slowly changing before their eyes. Please, God, give them grace to find words of truth and moments of trust in which to name the reality of their fear and despair. Form in us, O God, your church, a people who are patiently present with those whose present suffering makes them difficult to bear, for those who are unwell, unkept, and unhinged. Might we be a place of shelter, care, abiding friendship, and love. In all these things, O God, liberate us from the dominion of the powers not of you, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might become whole and healed through the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Friends, at this time, we have the privilege of responding to the generosity of God through the giving of our gifts. You can give online following the instructions, or give by offering that gift in the offering plate as it's passed in your aisle. We give in response to the God who is abundantly providing more than we could ever imagine or ask. So friends, might we give in response to this good and gracious God today.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed those who were sick in body, mind, and spirit. He soothed the tormented, comforted the afflicted, and afflicted the comfortable. He fed the hungry, broke bread with the crowds, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on all who are gathered in this hour, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Of children of God, let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, this is the body of Christ, broken and given as the bread of life. And this is the cup of grace, the blood of Christ poured out for you and for me and for all the world. The table is set, and the host of this table is Jesus Christ himself. You do not have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be anything at all except willing to come and receive. There is a place for you at this table. All who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, I'll offer a few words of instruction to help you along the way. We are invited to come to the altar rails to receive, to kneel, and to remain there with open hands until you've been served by our servers. After receiving, you are welcome to stay and pray as long as you would like. Our choir will come and be served first, and then they will accompany our receiving with their singing, and you're invited to join in that singing as you feel led. Then those in the transepts and balcony will be led forward, followed by the rest of us in the nave. If you are unable or uncomfortable coming forward, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with some prepackaged communion elements, if you'll just let me know that you need those. All of our elements are gluten-free. Every time we come forward, we have an opportunity to make a second mile gift to one of the missions of our congregation. And this month's communion offering will go to support the United Methodist Campus Ministries in our area. Belmont, Vanderbilt, Fisk, and TSU all have Wesley Foundations that we want to support together. Some of you may know that our annual conference's funding of campus ministries has been greatly reduced over the past year, and so we're looking even more for the generosity of those of us who are able to support these vital and important ministries. These are spaces where students can connect one another and deepen their faith or even encounter Christ for the first time. So we hope that you will give generously and pray for them as you come forward today. And now may we all be prepared to receive the grace that is poured out for us at this table. join with me in giving thanks for the grace we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. May we go from this place with the assurance that there is nowhere we can go that Christ will not find us. And as those who have been found, let us go forth as the people of Christ to go and find others who may feel lost, abandoned, forsaken, for they too are claimed and named by God. Go in peace. Amen.